Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi everyone, Ione and Gina here, and we're so excited to be presenting a brand new episode of our podcast series exploring modern identity.
Made in collaboration with Monkey, The Skin You're In explores what it means to be alive today and the biggest issues affecting our generation.
From online activism, marginalised people in the workplace and representation of bodies, we want to know where the conversations are at and what we can do to move them forward.
We're talking to the people at the forefront of these issues, enacted change through their work and their lives.
So, wow, a sneaky episode.
A cheeky, cheeky monkey episode.
Cheeky, cheeky, cheeky. We are speaking today to
Megan Mercury,
who is the winner of our Queer Creative Fund. So if you have missed what we've been posting about on socials or on the website or even on the podcast, we mentioned it a couple of times before the summer break. We've been working on a Queer Creative Fund to offer one recipient a cash like grant, mentorship sessions with us, podcast episode, which you are listening to now, a cover of The Dollhouse. And yeah, it's just been bloody great news, really. So do you want to introduce Megan a bit, G?
Yeah, Megan's a Madrid-based photographer of colour. Their work revolves very much around their life as a queer person of colour in Spain and their community. So they not only use their photography work, and also they're like a multimedia artist. So they're like, I think they do drag, they have an album out, they have like so many different avenues of queer expression. The way that we've worked with them is for like an editorial where they have taken images of their literal community, their friends. The queer people of colour in Spain are underrepresented, and even in like the larger world, I think, underrepresented in mass media. So they're like such beautiful, beautiful shots, and Megan's such like an interesting and like inspiring person to speak to. They've got so many like great views on community, and that's kind of like what our podcast episode ended up being totally about.
Yeah, and I think especially like obviously we're quite far out of Pride Month now, but it still feels really recent. And I think especially this year everyone was kind of sick of like the normal commodified Pride content where it was just like the same things and people from the same place and like the same banks saying the same stuff. Same, same. How many times am I gonna say same?
Like, hey, gay, do you want some rainbow socks?
Yeah, exactly. Although I did really enjoy all the TikToks about like going to Target and seeing their Pride collection stuff and it just being the most ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, I saw someone saying that it doesn't apply to like Flying Tiger and I was like, that's true.
So yeah, I think this was just really refreshing to like do a project during that time, but that wasn't this like didn't have those icky feels, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think I really, really enjoyed it because it made me think about like queer communities, not that I didn't think about it, but maybe I didn't, about queer communities in other parts of Europe and in other countries that aren't like, we always talk about, and we had a piece on The Dollhouse about how Pride is so like US focused, but I guess in a way, like it's also very UK focused. And we've got a privilege within that of like our queer community being like uplifted and talked about and seen through like a global lens as the Pride, the queer culture. So it was really interesting to talk to Megan about Spanish queer culture.
Let's go into the interview and we can talk more afterwards. Here is the interview. Hiya.
Hey.
Hi.
How is everyone?
Hot.
Yeah.
Boiling.
Too hot.
Gina, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'm going to jump in the deep end, I think, because I've just like finished reading the feature that goes along with the editorial you've done for us. And in it, you're kind of talking about how community is harder to find in Spain for people of colour. And I think, do you think that makes community even more important to you?
Yeah, because I think that it's been a long time, like since when you're like a kid here to when you grow up, that you don't know other people of color sometimes. Or maybe you do, but if you're queer, it's like sometimes you don't get like to have that really, that sense of community, or that you feel linked completely to any kind of group, let's say. So yeah, I think it's so important to me, like, and the Spanish context is one of the reasons why a community is so important.
So obviously we've kind of like just come out of Global Pride Month, which I feel like a lot of people have complicated feelings towards. And I'm interested in kind of your perspective as someone who lives in like Central Europe and Spain, because a lot of Pride content in particular can seem like very US focused or British focused.
Yeah, I mean, I think that queer culture in general is like so focused in US or in UK. Also, like you can also see that like in here where, let's say that people knows names like Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, etc. Like before knowing our own history, you know what I mean? Also, especially like for people of color, like there is no like precedent of people that were here, like that are queer people of color, at least not notable, or at least I don't know them yet. and so, for us, it's like, as I say always, it's like we are like creating our own references. We are like being our own reference to each other. And actually, during the project, they were saying like a lot of them, a lot of the artists that were in the project, they were saying that like that my reference are my friends. I don't have like anyone else before me or something, you know.
So I'm interested in, maybe for anyone that hasn't seen your cover yet or hasn't read the feature, if you could introduce your project for us a little bit, but also like what kind of made you want to apply for the creative fund and why it was like something that you wanted to do, basically.
And so, well, I saw the post of the Queer Creative Fund, and I liked a lot the magazine, and so I said, well, I can try it and let's see if it happens. My cover is about 10 queer POC artists and them like just talking about their work. But the editorial was a bit about community, about friends of mine, about people that I love and I respect and I admire and that I love their work. And so, that's how it started and how I proceeded, to do the cover.
So, I think it's interesting because I think even the word community has become like quite commodified, and like brands use it to talk about their followers or influencers use it to talk about their followers. So how do you kind of like distinguish a meaningful community from a hollow or like inauthentic one?
I think to me, community means like having a network, you know what I mean? Like in which you, especially between artists, you recognize the work of other artists and want to work with them and want them to succeed also. And you want to support them and to push them as much as you want. And not only an aggregation of people. Also, like, we take care of each other. We, I don't know, when we have a problem, like, we try to solve it each other if we can. I don't know, like, to me, it means more than followers or anything related to that.
Yeah, definitely.
I think like we touched on how the community in Spain can be like a bit harder to come by. So what would your advice be for people who maybe aren't like in cities, aren't in like central locations where it's easy to come across like your people? Like how would you advise them to go forward and start a community or find their place in one?
Well, in my case, I'm a person that if I see something that I like, I don't mind like to go alone, literally. So it's like whenever I want to go, I always tell my friends like, well, like, if you want to go, I don't mind. I'm going to go by myself, you know what I mean? And so I think that's one of the reasons that maybe I've been able to know a lot of people. And also, like, I think people who are, like, I don't know, who may like you, they, even if they don't know you, they sense that you can get along, you know what I mean? And so sometimes these kind of connections just happens, like going to, I don't know, exhibitions, to parties, to whatever, like, whatever you want, whatever you're interested in, because it lets you know, like, more artists, and then you can follow them on their social media. Maybe they see your work and they like it, and then, like, y'all start, like, relationships in that way also. And so my advice would be, like, to go places, like, literally to go places. Try, I don't know, to know some people.
Yeah, I think, like, even more so now after all the lockdowns and stuff, it must be even harder for people that haven't found their communities in real life to go and find them, because even leaving the house feels intimidating sometimes. So then putting yourself out there is, like, doubly as hard. how do you think that, like, social media has changed how we view community and also, like, representations of queerness?
Well, I think that for one part, the media gives you, like, a platform where you can go, like, to, you can discover other things. You can, as I did, like, apply to these kind of things that are not in my country and still doing something, you know what I mean? And so I think it has, I mean, it has negative repercussions, but also it has, like, positive repercussions, especially for people that don't have, like, an immediate place where you can go to do some things. Like, there are places where there is no, like, queer clubs or queer things in general, you know what I mean? And so it's like, well, you can use internet, like, to do your thing and try, I don't know, like, try to reach, like, to other achievements, places, etc.
What would you say that some of the negative repercussions that you mentioned are?
For artists, I think it's like we are, like, how to say this? We feel like we have to produce all the time, like, there's, like, some capitalist, like, dynamics going on there. And also, like, with our bodies, like, how it affects to us, like, all the social media, which ones are the bodies that are accepted, in which spaces, etc. And also, like, for the artists, like, about how it fosters competition also between artists. I think those ones would be, like, the negative, like, there are a lot, like, but I think that also there is a lot of goodness, like, through media apps. And I think it's important to know, like, how to use your social media not to be affected mentally.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention about competition. Like, I feel like that's such a real thing, especially amongst artists that are maybe marginalized, that we've been kind of, like, spun this lie that there's only so much space for everyone, so then it breeds competition a bit. So how do you kind of, like, what would be your tips, or, like, how do you personally break through that? Like,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Competition, or sometimes jealousy or whatever, because I feel like that gets in the way of community a bit when people are working in competition with each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's why community is so important, in the way that if you don't think of yourself as yourself, but as you and your friends or other people that you might be interested in, maybe you don't like, I mean, next time you see someone has done something, you say, okay, you can be like envious, but envious in a way that's saying, I wish I would have done that. You know what I mean? And I think like putting it from this perspective is like pretty much helpful than the other way around, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I think jealousy is just more of a comment, really, but I think jealousy is just like such a natural emotion that people like shy away from. Like, people always see jealousy as like a negative, but you can definitely like spin it into a positive, like you said.
Yeah, I think so. Like, also, like, I mean, it is so difficult, like, if you are in media, like, not to compare yourself to others. Like, it's something that we all are gonna do, like, at some point, and depending on how are you at that moment, it can be like better or worse. But I think that knowing that that can happen and being able to think in another way whenever you can, whenever you're ready, whenever you're not too tired to do it, I think those are the things that are going to keep you, like, let's say, alive in a way. Also because all this thing like with jealousy and competition and stuff like makes you also make us like follow trends in general, like in terms of aesthetics, concepts that we can like work on, etc., etc., etc. And maybe because of jealousy, like you are losing yourself, like, and you're not like doing you, yeah. Basically.
I also think there's like this idea of like, it's like hashtag girl boss culture where like success is seen as the pinnacle of art now, or like being like seen commercially is seen as the pinnacle of success with art, when really art shouldn't be seen in that way. Do you agree?
I don't think like going commercial is like equal to success. I also know that, I mean, if you're an artist, like you have to eat, you have to pay your things. And so having commercial jobs like can help you. But also like knowing that you can use also your resources to do other things outside the commercial scenario. And I think that like under this capitalist system that we cannot get out of it, it's like one of the best things like you can do in a way that, okay, sometimes you're going to do things that maybe you don't like that much, but it's like, okay, you're going to need the money for this and you're going to do a project that is going to be meaningful. So yeah, you're risking this for that and knowing like, I mean, little by little, when your work grows and stuff, I think, and I hope to me also, that is like, well, I can't stop doing some things that I don't want to do anymore and still doing my projects, you know what I mean? And I think to me, like, that's success for real, like in a way that, okay, I went to all these that I didn't want to do, or maybe you want to do like some commercial stuff. I mean, just do whatever. But I went to all these that I didn't want to do, but now like I'm established in a way that I know that I can pay like everything, mostly everything I want to do or whatever. And now I can only do like my projects and I'm going to be okay too. So I think that's my goal, like in a way that, okay, I can do this project and I don't have to be worried about my bank account all the fucking time. So
do you think that the internet has like helped people that don't live in like, for example, America or England find more opportunities? Or do you think it's quite like insular, like you're more working within like the Spanish ecosystem rather than the international one?
Yeah, I think this has helped a lot of people. It is true that when you are not like from a country that are considered like, I don't know, like US or UK, something like this big, like that, you know, like everyone knows the imagery or everyone want to go to those places, you know, like to be there and to do some things. Like it is notable, like when you are from another country, in this case, Spain, there is not like many, I mean, you realize that there is not like many Spanish people, like in general, like in an international scope, and especially like underground artists and things like that. And so, yeah, I mean, I think depends on the country that you're coming from. Maybe, I mean, you can be lucky or you can be like so hardworking and you get an opportunity and then people get to know you and stuff. But yeah, like, I mean, I think it helps us to go to like internationally maybe, or to get to meet any other kind of artists. But it's also like more difficult that if you're not like in one of these countries.
Do you think that you can have then an authentic like international community? Do you think that is possible, or do you think you have to see people regularly for it to count as a community?
I think it's possible in the way that, for instance, here in Spain, there is always like people of color like coming maybe from other countries, like they come to Spain, especially like people from Latin America, like coming to Spain, and they already know queer people, like, and sometimes like you start to connect with other people and you never know what's going to happen, in the way that, well, we are not in the same country or not even in the same continent, but maybe, I don't know, this guy do like graphic design or whatever, and I'm thinking about a project, and maybe counting with that, with this guy is like a way in which you say, okay, I recognize your work, I love what you do, I love your people, get into this project, you know what I mean? And so I think these kind of things, these kind of connections makes possible, like, let's say, an international community in a way.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously as part of your project, we did like some mentoring with you, like not just us, but also Monkey and Radam. And I'm interested in, it doesn't have to be from the mentor sessions, it can be from anywhere. What's the most like useful piece of advice you've ever been given in relation to like creativity or community or both of those things together?
What I always say is that the reason like why I started like what I want to do these things and why I started like doing like more artistic things and all myself and all by myself mostly, it was because I knew that depending on who you are, like, and your identity, like, sometimes you're not gonna be in other people, like, maybe projects or whatever. And so I said, okay, if nobody, like, is calling, I'm gonna do me, I'm gonna do my thing, and I'm not gonna care about if this is, like, this new brand is the one that is everyone using or whatever. I'm just gonna work on my concepts and believe in my work and not being afraid of saying like, okay, I want to apply to this or to that. And yeah, like basically like, do you.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Gorgeous.
And you should definitely go check out their cover and all of the stuff that they've done for the Dollhouse, because it's absolutely amazing. But yeah, as I was kind of saying before, I think it's weird as well how like over the past couple of years or like maybe half a decade, I don't know, we've kind of like adopted this global Pride Month, because when I was growing up, it was like, that makes me sound like I'm 100, but like 10 years ago even,
yeah,
it was very much like, you know, I grew up in Brighton, so there's Brighton Pride, but then like London Pride was the month before, and then Manchester Pride was like a different month, and it was just all summer basically, but each city have their like different thing, and it wasn't this big like globalized project kind of thing.
Yeah, therefore, because Cardiff Pride Month's like the end of August, Pride weekend is like the end of August, start of September, so it was kind of like when summer was dwindling down for me, and I'd always think of it in that regard as like the end of summer, let's have one big like, I was gonna say gay bash then, but that sounds shocking, one like celebration before like we all go back to like school and like being adults and being boring in autumn.
Same.
So it was like weird that it became like this June month, like that's not kind of like the vibes that I associate with it. And then when I moved to Manchester, it's the same. I was at the end of August and Salford Pride at like the start of August. So yeah, I think it's a lot to do with just being able to like, if you slot it down to that month, then it becomes the thing that they're able to sell you stuff specifically for it, because they're celebrating it at the same time. Like that's why, I was gonna say that's why Christmas is in December, but that's not
yes. Well, apparently Jesus wasn't actually born in December, so you might be right.
Yeah, I think like my point is that like they moved Christmas, like Christ's birth, to Christmas because it was already like a time of celebration. It was easy to just assimilate it into that. And like, I'm not comparing Pride to Jesus because there's like so many depths to that comparison. But like, it's always, it just goes to show like it's always been the way that like tie in things together that aren't necessarily like neat in a box. Like Pride in Manchester is very different to Pride in London, and even different to Pride in Wales, Pride in Cardiff even. So I feel like tying it all together robs it of its like revolutionary power, as well as making it like capitalist, we've gone a bit off topic here because we were talking about space.
But yeah, let's wrap it up there. But thank you everyone for listening, and thank you to Monkey for being excellent partners for this project, and thank you to you, Gina,
and thank you, Aoni.
And we will see you after our summer break. And also thank you to Olivia for editing this podcast. And we miss you loads.
Yeah, I love you, Olivia.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.